You are listening to Benefit from the Bible. The Bible is God's word of truth to show us our need for Jesus, to save us through Jesus, and to show us how to live for Jesus. If you have questions or needs, please let us know. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, today and next Wednesday, we do focus on the book of Ruth. It does begin and end in Bethlehem, and it covers a period of time of about 12 years. Today, we are getting into part two of what I'm calling the Bethlehem series. But don't be scared off, though, when you look at the outline in the folder. It is a 24-point sermon today, but it will go quickly. Trust me, it will. We're going to skim over the first two chapters here, and I want to give a little bit of commentary as we go. The book of Ruth, it took place, the Bible tells us, in the days when the judges were ruling. When was that? It was about 1380 to 1045 BC. That was the time period when the judges were ruling. The book begins with a family. We have the father, Elimelech, a mother, Naomi, and their two sons, and they lived in Bethlehem in Judea, the place that we focused on last week. However, the Bible tells us, due to a famine, they went to stay in Moab, which was a neighboring country. If you pick up my sermon outline and take a look at the reference there to Moab, kind of a shocking thing where the Moabites came from. But what this is going in the direction of, though, is a Moabite is in the genealogy of our Savior. So it's interesting how God can take a really bad situation, some very interesting accounts in the book of Genesis, and still use a person from that particular nation, again, in order to be part of the bloodline of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'll let you look that up on your own. Going further here, while in Moab, the Bible tells us Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left alone with her two sons. These married two women of Moab, one named Orpah, the other named Ruth. They lived there about 10 years. Then Naomi's two sons died too, and Naomi was left alone without her two sons and without her husband. What a difficult situation. Whenever things are difficult for us, what does God say? Abandon me and go your own way? By no means. God says, whenever things are tough, know that I'm in control. Trust in me no matter what. And then we see them already returning to Bethlehem. So the Bible tells us, while still in Moab, Naomi heard the Lord had blessed his people and given them food. Therefore, she and her daughters-in-law started on the way back. Thinking about Bethlehem, what did we learn last week? The name means house of bread. So what do we have going on now? After a time of famine, what God has done is he has returned bread to the house of bread. So now they're heading back to Bethlehem. Going further here, we see Naomi's unselfishness. Keep in mind, she's the mom of the two sons who have died. Now it's just her and her daughters-in-law. Thinking about the situation, Naomi could have said, I'm on my own here, and I need my daughters-in-law to stay with me and help me. But that wasn't her attitude, though. The Bible says that she said to them, please go back, each of you, to her mother's home. The Lord be kind to you as you were kind to the dead and to me. The Lord help each of you find security in a home with a husband. What Naomi was doing there is she was thinking about the welfare of her daughters-in-law, and she was trying to do what was best for them. Even as we approach the celebration of the birth of Christ, even as we think about Christmas, even as we think about buying gifts possibly for others, do we take into account what they need the most? Maybe we should be thinking in that way and buying things rather than things that we want them to have. Maybe we should think about what do they really need? If they're not in Jesus Christ, buy them something that would point them to Jesus Christ. And if they are in Jesus Christ, give them something that will build them up in Jesus Christ. Those are things that people really need. Going further here, we see Naomi's encouragement. So the Bible tells us that initially, both of them refused to return. They were going to stick with Naomi no matter what, but then Naomi reasoned with them. She said to them, "Why should you go with me? Do I have any more sons in my womb who you could marry? Go on back, my daughters, go. I'm too old to be a man's wife. Even if I did say, I still have hope, even if I were a man's wife tonight and gave birth to sons, would you wait till they grew up and stay single for them?" Imagine that situation. Imagine you're an adult, and now you're waiting for the baby to grow up so you can marry the baby. Talk about robbing the cradle, right? That would be it, I guess. Well, Naomi tried to do what was best for Ruth by sending her back. But what was Ruth doing? Ruth wasn't thinking about herself. She was thinking about her mother-in-law, and she was trying to do what was best for her, for her mother-in-law, again, not for herself. What did Ruth say? We come now to those famous words. Ruth said to her mother-in-law, "Don't urge me to leave you, to go back and not be with you. I will go where you go and stay where you stay. Your people will be my people and your God, my God. I will die where you die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord punish me if anything but death separates you from me." As I think about those words, we did have Reverend May here with us yesterday at Bethlehem. He was only here for a few hours. I had a meeting with him and with someone else and such. But whenever I come to those words, it takes me back to his wedding back in 1998 now, 20 years ago. Maybe it was 99, I think, almost 20 years ago. Anyway, though, those are the words that him and Tina used as their promises in their wedding, this promise that Ruth made to her mother-in-law. So the Bible tells us that the two then went on to Bethlehem. So the one daughter-in-law went back to Moab. Now the two of them are on their way to Bethlehem. And thinking a little bit about Bethlehem at the time, it was hard to get an exact number here, but in Jesus' time, Bethlehem was small. Some people estimate maybe a population of about 300. If we go back to the time when Micah wrote his famous prophecy about the birthplace of Jesus, he wrote, "You, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, are too little to be among the clans of Judah." So we would think that going back 700 years earlier, Bethlehem was probably smaller yet. And then think about hundreds of years before that, when Naomi and Ruth now are going back to Bethlehem, probably a very, very small place. In a small place, what happens? Everybody kind of knows everybody else, and everybody kind of knows what? Everybody else's business too, I suppose. So the Bible tells us when they came to Bethlehem, the whole town was excited about them. "Is this Naomi?" the women asked. Now remember, when she left with a husband and two sons. Now she comes back with one younger woman, and they don't really even know what has happened. So a whole lot has happened with her during this period of time. They were gone for about 10 years. Naomi then expressed her true feelings to those living in Bethlehem. She said to them, "Don't call me Naomi. That name means pleasant." She answered them, "Call me Mara. That name means bitter." "Why? Because the Almighty has made my life bitter for me. I went away full, but the Lord brought me back empty." And then she said, "The Almighty has hurt me." That's how she felt. "The Almighty God has hurt me." Are such feelings natural when life is difficult, when life is extremely difficult? Imagine, here she was, a family of four, and now her husband is dead and her sons are dead, and really it's just her. Ruth is there with her, yes, too, but her initial family is all gone except her. Imagine how she felt. Have you ever maybe felt that way too? Maybe you haven't been through something quite that tragic, but it's easy, though, to blame God. It's easy to say, God, you're in control here. You must have permitted that to happen or caused that to happen, and now I'm upset with you. A very natural way to be. What does God want us to keep in mind? He wants us to remember Romans 8:28. Now, that passage doesn't apply to everyone. We have to be careful taking it to ourselves if it doesn't really apply, but that's where it says, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who have been called according to his purpose. But it doesn't mean, though, that everything will be good as we perceive it to be good. And it doesn't mean that each individual thing will be good, but God is saying, I will work it all together for good for those who love me. So God wants us to rely upon that. God wants us to know that when this difficult thing happens, it doesn't mean that he doesn't love us. We always have to keep in mind things that we know do not change. So in the midst of difficulty, let's remember, God is still God. God is almighty in power. God loves us. The Bible is his word. God has promised that we are forgiven through Christ. God has promised us a wonderful eternity in Jesus Christ. We have to keep those rock-solid things in mind in the midst of difficulty and say, God, I don't understand it. I don't like it. I'm upset about it. But I know these six things are true, and I'm going to be okay with it somehow, some way, because I know you are going to carry me through. These are such important things when life is difficult. So God was in control. The Bible says they came to Bethlehem when people were starting to harvest the barley. So we're going to see, as we enter into chapter 2 now, we're going to see this barley-related blessing that God is going to bring to Naomi and Ruth. They were poor and hungry. Keep in mind, both of the women were widows. You can't go and get a job at the 7-Eleven or something. It just doesn't work out at that time. So they were in great need. The Bible says, Naomi's husband had a relative, a wealthy man of Elimelech's family. His name was Boaz. How do things work today sometimes? People might think, well, I'm down and out and I have nothing, but I have a wealthy relative and he should help me out. I shouldn't have to do anything. He should step up. He should help me out. I can just sit here and have all my needs taken care of by him. Is that how Naomi and Ruth looked at it? By no means. They did what they could to provide their needs. Now, are there some people who cannot provide what they need? Sure. In that case, other people need to rise up and help. But unfortunately, though, we live in a nation today where we have many, many able-bodied people, and yet we have tens of millions of them that say, I refuse to do anything, and I expect everyone else to take care of me, and yet this is no good for them as individuals. It's no good for our nation. Again, for people who can't care for themselves, by all means, they need help, but we have a mixed-up thing today, but not true back then, though. Ruth was willing to do what she could, and I'm sure that Naomi was doing what she could as well. The Bible goes on and tells us regarding Ruth that she went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. She just happened to be in the field that belonged to Boaz, who was of Elimelech's family. So it seems the way the Bible puts it, that here is Ruth, and she's like, I have to go get us some food, so I'm going to go out there and glean. I'm going to pick up the leftovers. And she just happens to end up on this particular field, and Naomi doesn't tell her, hey, figure out where Boaz lives and go on his field. It seems that there's nothing like that at all, but she just happens to go on this particular field, and it just happens to be the field owned by Boaz. Do you think that was a coincidence, or do you think that was a God thing? I think God was at work there. Remember, God causes all things to work together for good to those who love him. And then, think about how the Bible continues here. It says, just then, while she was there in the field, just then, Boaz came from Bethlehem. So what's the situation? We're in Bethlehem, but he came from Bethlehem. Maybe there was kind of a town proper, if you will, and the field was a little bit outside of town. So here he comes from town to outside of town, just the moment when Ruth is there gleaning. So God worked that out, didn't he? Or was that a coincidence too? God wants us to know he is in control. And then the Bible tells us that Boaz asked his servant regarding Ruth, "Whose girl is this?" It kind of seems from the Bible here that when Boaz saw her, that maybe he was immediately attracted to her, not just seeing her as a stranger and saying, "Well, who is this?" But it seems that there was something more there when he saw her. What we're seeing is we're seeing the plan of God unfold. God knew who all the different people would be in the genealogy of our Savior, and we're moving here in the direction of Ruth being in that genealogy, and yet God is working out his plan. The servant said, regarding Ruth, she said, "Please let me glean and gather among the bundles after the reapers." She came and has been on her feet ever since daybreak. So we can see that Ruth was a polite woman. She said, "Please, can I go and glean in your field?" Also a very hard worker. She had been on her feet since daybreak, working, 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 trying to provide what she needed and also what her mother-in-law, Naomi, needed. And then we can see that Boaz not only liked Ruth, but he tries to do something to show that he liked her. The Bible says, he said to her, "Don't go to glean in any other field or leave this one. Stay here with my women. I will order the servants not to touch you, and when you're thirsty, go to the jars and drink." So he was trying to show this kindness to her right away. And then we see Ruth's humble response. She said to him, "Why are you so kind to me as to be interested in me? I'm only a foreign woman." When we think about our relationship with God, or maybe I should say God's relationship with us, what should we say to God? We should say, "Dear God, why is it that you love me? Why would you ever send your son to die for someone like me, a poor, miserable sinner?" So in a sense, we see a picture there of the relationship between us and God in the relationship with Boaz and Ruth. And then Boaz responded to Ruth, "I was told everything about you that you did for your mother-in-law after your husband died, how you left your father, your mother, and the country where you were born and came to a people you didn't know." So keep in mind, when Naomi came back to Bethlehem, she was returning home. Ruth was coming to a place she had never been before. So very much in a foreign situation. She could have returned home with Naomi's blessing, but yet she came. And what was she doing? I think we could say she was living out her faith. Living out her faith. Ruth was grateful. She said back to Boaz, "You're kind to me. You encourage your maidservant." So when God is kind to us, what should we do? We should offer him thanksgiving, and let's realize that God is kind to us in countless, countless ways. And then God continued to bless Ruth. Boaz told her, "Come here and have some food." So Ruth wasn't deserving of any of this, but yet God allowed Boaz to be attracted to her. God allowed Boaz to be kind to her. God allowed Boaz almost immediately to begin to take care of her, to see that she was hungry, to offer her food, and so on. So again, we can see the relationship between God and us. So God looks upon us, even though we're undeserving. God loves us, and then God takes action to provide the various things that we need. Boaz went even further, the Bible says. Boaz ordered his servants, "Let her glean even among the bundles and don't embarrass her." So Boaz, at this point, I would say that he was delighting in Ruth. And what does God do with us? God delights in us. He loves us so much. Sometimes I can look in the mirror and think, "Dear God, what are you seeing? I'm not seeing anything good." But yet somehow, though, God loves us. God delights in us. It's an amazing thing. He delights in us so much that he sent his son to take away our sins. And then when Ruth gets home, Naomi, she is surprised. She said to her, "Where did you glean today?" Ruth answered, "The name of the man I worked with today is Boaz." Naomi responded, "May the Lord bless him." And keep in mind, she came home with a lot. So normally if you went to glean, you would have some, maybe enough, but not much. But she came home with a lot. So she could see that God had blessed her. And then Naomi said, "The man is our relative. He's next to our nearest relative." In other words, literally, he is next to our kinsman redeemer. So he's not our kinsman redeemer, but he's next to our kinsman redeemer. What is a kinsman redeemer? Well, that was a person who was responsible for protecting the interests of needy members of the extended family. Now, Boaz didn't have that responsibility. There was a relative even closer who had that responsibility. But it wasn't him, though. Naomi, keep in mind, losing her husband, losing her sons, she was in despair. But when she heard about the situation with Ruth and thinking about Boaz being the kinsman redeemer, now she's filled with great hope. What about us? As we think about our sins and we think about what we deserve, that should lead us to great despair. But then when we think about God's love and we think of the finished work of Christ, that should fill us with great hope, great certainty, knowing that in Christ we are forgiven. Naomi said to Ruth, "It is best, my daughter, that you go out with his women. Then you'll not be in a strange field where you may be mistreated." So as Ruth had shown love for Naomi by being willing to go and glean and help them to be able to eat, now Naomi is giving her advice saying, "That's good what Boaz said. Continue down that path. That will be a blessing for you." So Naomi was giving advice. She was also showing her love. And then finally, Ruth took the advice because the Bible says she stayed with the women of Boaz and gleaned till all the barley and the wheat had been harvested. So she heard the advice and she took the advice. God's word does have commands, but it's also filled with much advice for all of us. God wants us to be in his word. He wants us to hear that advice. And then by the power of the Holy Spirit, he wants us to take that advice and put it into practice in our lives. That is half the story. So next week we come to chapters 3 and 4. So stay tuned. Come back for the rest of the story. Let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus, as we think about redeemers, we know that God the Father used you to redeem us. God the Father used your perfect life and your sacrificial death in order to buy us back and make us his very own. Dear Jesus, we thank you for your perfect obedience. Dear Father, we thank you for your great love. Dear Holy Spirit, we thank you for giving us the benefits of Jesus' work. In his name we pray. Amen. Questions? Needs? Contact us through our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. This is our regular schedule. Sundays, service at 8, classes at 9:30, service at 10:45, Mondays, service at 7 p.m. Now, may the Lord of peace continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with you all.